100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'm talking to you on a new headset. It's by Logitech, and it's the next generation of the one that I've had for years and years. I don't know how good this is going to sound. I've tried making it sound good. I've tried making it sound bad. I've tried this. I've tried that. I don't know. We'll see how it works this week. Well, it's the weekly challenge where I post a topic, you come up with a story, blah, 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 you send a bunch in, some people record them, some people don't, some people write 500-word essays, it's all crazy. But what can I say? You're listening to it. Let's just go ahead and get right to it. The first story is by Tom, and he's got The Well-Defined Relationship, Part 5. this one's going to be good. So remember, if you like the sound, okay, it's going to stick. Otherwise, I'm going to go shopping for a new headset at like Micro Center, get one. If I can get one of the generation I had before, the H530, that was perfect. Perfect! And they probably don't make them anymore. Oh, well, here's Tom's story, and enjoy.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And a gut-wrenching, beautiful discovery passage. Too bad about the unidirection Logitech mic, the pantyhose embroidery hoop pop screen. I'm sure I could complete the effect of a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 in waist-deep water under a bridge. But of course, that was last night. And the Mountie Station has way better acoustics. Hey Lawrence, could you give my lawyer a tweet? Oh yeah, this is a podcast. So here's the updates. Jeff passes Serendipity Haven. Red Goddess passes our good friend Ellison, who falls out of the top 20. Speaking of the top 20, there are 13 active authors this week. And on a personal note, possibly a C-sharp, your humble scribe has just lapped himself. You in the back, stop snickering. This week I have reached 180 stories in a row. So I no longer have the fourth and third longest runs of stories. I have the third and fourth longest runs. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 5. Deadman is the fifth rock from the sun, your average M1 planet, secondarily known for agro-mining, primarily and singularly known for its declassification. Deadman was a deity planet. Any single act of significant devotion could and often did manifest the god of your choosing. Timmy Haddon chose the flying spaghetti monster currently silhouetted in the twin moons of Deadman. It looks like we're about to become the blue plate special. Not today, cried Timmy, pointing at his Zuberlinger creation. John Wayne and the whole fucking U.S. Army slammed into the FSM. Bannister triumphantly whistled. She wore a yellow ribbon.
Hey, what's your lawyer's Twitter handle? I was going to... thank you, Tom. Ah, man, I just listened to what the... This headphone sucks. And the worst part is I already threw out the box. So there goes the receipt, there goes everything, there goes my money. Oh, well, just give this a charity. Or hey, anyone out there need a crappy headset? It sounds like mud. You know, for free. I'll even ship it to you. Why do I do this to myself? So, thank you, Tom. And there's the... See, I've got the old DVD Blu-ray player on the table here that... Got to put that in the stack of things we don't need anymore. I'm running this on the laptop, which pumps out to an HDMI to the old TV, which is not really that old. We've had it for like 4 years. But we've got a 50-inch TV now out there, so the 32-inch is my external display. It's not entirely sharp, but it looks good. It's big, so it's what you would expect. You know, a monitor, a retina monitor, this retina monitor on the laptop, oh my God, that looks great. But the TV, it'll do as long as I'm not doing, like, you know, intense artwork and text, which... Golly, a documentation writer. I should probably just get along and tell you the next story is by Jeffrey Fisher. So I should not talk as much if I've got this muddy voice. Oh, well.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories on this week's topic of yellow. My first story is called On the Road. The yellow car turned the corner and accelerated on the broad highway, only to be stopped again by a traffic light. The car looked like something Big Bird might drive. Melvin assumed the buyer had lost a bet. The driver looked nervous. He wore dark sunglasses and his hair was close-cropped. When a police car pulled up behind, the driver of the yellow car looked in the rearview mirror and then reached across the passenger seat, perhaps to open the glove compartment. The cop fiddled with his computer, maybe running the yellow car's plates, as the light turned. Both cars rolled through the intersection, and Melvin was left to wonder how the drama, if any, would unfold. My next story is called The Crossing. In the third week, our caravan began to run short of water. The yellow sun hung huge in the sky and beat down mercilessly. We had underestimated the amount of time to cross the desert and found no oasis to restock. Rain was an unlikely wish, and the intense heat of the day meant we had to stop and take shelter under the canopies until the heat began to break for the evening. We traveled as far as possible at night, driving the horses to exhaustion. Two collapsed, and we had no choice but to leave them behind. At our current rate, we would be lucky to reach the edge of the desert alive. Still, this route was the only way to get the child to court in time for the coronation. My last story is just called Yellow. "You calling me Yellow?" the cowboy said, glaring at Sam. Sam, a bespectacled man of slight build, took a step back. "No, sir. I just said you appeared jaundiced, that your skin has a yellowish tone." That didn't mollify the cowboy, who shouted to no one in particular. "You heard that. He thinks I'm a coward." To Sam he said, "Draw, or I'm going to gun you down anyway." Sam thought quickly. He didn't want to die in a disreputable bar in a nothing town, merely because a cowboy had more aggression than vocabulary. "No, sir. I just said you're a mighty fine fellow."
Jeffrey, you are a mighty fine fellow, and don't let those cowboys tell you otherwise. Thank you, Jeffrey. Next up, see, I'm going to try making this real quick, because this head sound is, sounds terrible. I tried the old ones on the wall, hanging from a peg, mocking me. And I'm not about to drag out my MXL whatever 990, because the preamp has been busted for 2 years, and I left the... The microphone's at work. It looks really cool. It's a book stand. Expensive, professional-grade book stand. Right, story. Let's go ahead and get Lizzie in here. Hi, Lizzie. How you doing? It's been a while. Been only a week. We don't talk much, do we? We should talk, have coffee, and talk about our dogs. And here's Lizzie.
Yellow Future. A yellow line divided the town in two. On one side lived the blue-eyed, on the other the brown-eyed. No one remembered why this division was implemented, yet everyone remembered who had used the yellow paint to draw the line, McAllister. His descendants retouched that line every year, perpetuating its forgotten meaning. One day, yellow was banned from the market due to a toxic component of the color. McAllister's descendants tried a red line that year, but the result was disastrous. Blue-eyed and brown-eyed crossed the line defiantly back and forth. The town completely forgot the line. The McAllisters didn't. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and check out ires.me. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
But what about the yellow-eyed? Did the kitty cats have to do this? Little blue-eyed kitty, little... Where is she? Oh, thank you, Lizzie. The kitty cats are in the other room. That's where they always are. They're always in the other room. So I'm looking at the wall here. There's the old Filthy Fluno triptych. I've got two photos of Edlo on the wall. The Pets.com puppet. There's a bag of probably cheap headset in there. Santa's pants, of course, and the clock that says 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3. I'll send a photo of it. I like unusual clocks. I've got like an hourglass type one. I've got the one Mississippi one, the gear clock at work, and then there are a bunch of them in the closet that I never bothered hanging up. What are you little poop factory? Okay, Tenny was in the room with me in the litter box. I'll smell that in a minute. One thing I won't smell is Richard, because he's the smell of ninja. You see, because they saw, never mind. Here's Richard.
Good morning. Well, despite all expectations, I did make it through the week, and even though the cold is still lurking in the background, I'm pretty sure I've got it beat. This week's prompt was yellow, and these are my stories. Fairly quickly, George learned that carrying 40 tins of tomatoes was not conducive to rapid progress. And struggling with his load, it soon struck him that he'd been a complete idiot. Why walk when there were abandoned vehicles everywhere he passed? Not just any car would do, though. He wanted something with a bit of muscle that he could rely on in a crisis. Speed was out, too. The streets were littered with debris and would likely be a death trap. Passing a building site, the brutal yellow bulk of a large bulldozer caught his eye. Now that would do nicely. My next story is called Custard. Yellow is definitely not my favourite colour. It may well be the colour of sunshine and happiness, but it's also the colour of custard. In my mind, a substance more vile and repulsive than any other. Whether the cloying, sticky ooze sandwiched between the pastry of the confectioner's creation, or the pale, thin dribble of nastiness clinging to your rhubarb crumble dessert, there is nothing more disgusting than a dollop of custardly gloop. By all means, surround me with hues of red, green, and blue. They're just fine by me. But keep your custard yellow to yourself, if you please. And my last story this week is called Volcano. Scientists tell us that lurking deep beneath Yellowstone National Park, there is a huge supervolcano that will one day be the death of us all. Its cataclysmic eruption will annihilate much of North America and plunge the unprepared world into another ice age. We will all perish in the dark, cold fury of the endless volcanic winter. So, what are the scientists doing about it? Well, they're investing their time and energy researching the geology and mechanics of Yellowstone. No, scientists, stop researching geology and how we're going to die, and start inventing anti-volcanic disaster safety domes, or something. And that's my stories for this week. Hopefully I will be fully recovered by next week. Until then, goodbye.
I'm glad you beat your cold. Congratulations, that's great. Me, I'm suffering from a horrible headset. Actually, all of you are suffering from it right now. Why should I suffer alone? I wish that other one was working. I loved it for so much. I had like three of those in a row, and they all sounded great. I should have just bought an entire rack of five. You used to buy headsets in packets of five. You could do that, and they were cheaper because you could buy them like for enterprise applications. Everyone must have the same headset because everyone has the same head and everyone has the same hair, and you will shave your head and be like a ninja. You know, that kind of thing. As if you'd ever use a Logitech USB headset for a professional application. Do any of you use those cheap ass headsets for professional applications? Let me know, because could you steal it from work and ship it to me? No, I'm going to go to Micro Center after this. Then I'm going to go to Target and get some bubble bath. Yes, I love bubble bath. It's just when the end of the day, it's like, oh my God, I enjoy what a fucking day. But actually, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the stuff that I do. It just wears me out. you wear me out, man. But it's cool. It used to be I'd just be like worn out from, oh my god, that just sucked too. Oh man, that was awesome. You know, like after a roller coaster. It's like a roller coaster of fun. I know, people are like, you're being such a suck up. No! I actually enjoy this stuff. I am going to enjoy it while I enjoy it. Then one day, maybe I'll burn out. Maybe I'll be tired. Maybe I'll be exhausted. Maybe, oh my god, not again. Until that day, I am going to enjoy it. I will enjoy the thrill until it's like a good eighth time on the roller coaster. Oh, my neck hurts. Oh, my back hurts. See, then I'll be like, oh, fuck it. But that's kind of like Muncie's stories. I wonder what he's come up with. What are we all this week? We're not the Justice Friends anymore. What are we? Muncie, tell us.
Cousin Larry, it's me, Muncie, and I've brought you a story for your ear holes.
Dude, don't ever call me that name. All right, back to the story. Wait, where were we? Hit play and go.
Also, you are all my cousin, and your name is now Larry. No need to thank me. You're already more welcome than you could possibly imagine.
This is going to be a very long month.
Let's make this happen! Black and Yellow by Christopher Monroe. Yep. All right. You know what it is. Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow. And thus, Wiz Khalifa sang my very favorite song about bees. Or maybe it's about Pittsburgh. Maybe it's about that time Pittsburgh was infested with angry bees. Did that happen? Was it a movie? Because I'd watch that. Anyway, my second favorite song about bees is by Coldplay. Look at the stars. See how they shine for you. And all the things that you do. And they were all black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. I blog flash fiction, I've written a book, and I tweet should any of those things appeal to you in the slightest. This brings us to the end of my tale, Cousin Larry. I hope it made you happy. So happy, in fact, that we do the dance of joy.
Only on your grave for coming up with that name. Oh, this will be the July of infamy, Muncie. You are on my angry list. The angry bees list. Oh, right up there with Norm Sherman. Oh, he put you up to this, didn't he? With this lousy headset and this use of the L word. On you. Oh, I'll see you next week, Muncie. Thank you. Let's see. Who's next? Tura! Don't you use that name. You people are ganging up against me, aren't you? It's like Snowden and Bolivia and the Egyptians. Why can't they go back to worshiping cats? Right. Oh, Tura, your story. By the way, did you know that Silas is coming up your way? Yeah, there's you'll find out. Here's Tura.
Did your school physics teacher ever set the question, if the sun's yellow, why does everything seem to be lit up by white light? That one's easy. It's because the rest of the sky is blue. With yellow, that makes white. But try this one. The moon shines by reflecting the sun's light, so why isn't it yellow? It's because the moon itself is blue. It's made of blue cheese, not green. That's why we've not been back since Apollo. The Swiss bankers don't want competition for the Swiss cheese industry. Unaltered reproduction and dissemination of this important information is encouraged. And hands up all those who are old enough in internet years to recognize that last sentence.
Well, I'm old enough in internet years, but I don't recognize the sentence. I've been on the internet almost from, let's see. First off, thank you, Tura. Let's see, what? I got an email printed into my inbox, my cubbyhole, pigeonhole inbox at Baker College, at Rice, 1989. So I got my first email printed because there weren't terminals enough, and no one ever taught people how to use email unless they had a computer science course at which point there were still some things that you had to... but that was back then, the first actual one that I sent, knowing that I sent it, 1992. And then I built the first website of any TV station, and blah, 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 and we connect up, and this and that, and blah, 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 and did all sorts of stuff. So there. I'm sure that there are people out there who are like, hey, you know that login that was sent? They were trying to log into my box. I win. So there you go. I banged two rocks together, and that was the first ping. Yeah, it's always one-upsmanship. Speaking of the man who one-ups all of us, it's Steven the Nuclear Man, who's doing this Kickstarter thing. Wait, hold on. Let me see if I get the... Kick Fate. Kickstarter, kick in the face. Just give him all your money, man. Dude, I'm kind of short this month because I bought a headset. I have to buy another. Anyway, but you people have money. And if you were to give money to me, I would say give money to him, because I don't want to deal with the tax crap.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. Recording this on the 4th of July, you might be able to hear either the crying, whining scaredness of my dog, oh, poor puppy, or from the loud booms from my over-enthusiastic neighbors. Regardless, by the time you're hearing this, there's going to be a week or less left in the What Fates Impose Kickstarter. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to go and to support the authors collected in this anthology. Show your support both with your money and also by tweeting about it, telling your friends, and generally spreading the word. The Kickstarter itself is at bit.ly/kickfate, and you can easily share it at bit.ly/sharefate. Now on with the story. We were placid calm blues and violets, the pre-dawn still, bodies wrapped around each other, radiating warmth against the slight summer morning chill. The dark still night is the place where busyness and activity and words cannot hide you from yourself, cannot save her from her fears. She wakes with the first slivers of sunlight, and once it's safe enough, busy enough, to start the day. The jealousy begins with demands and screams and shouting loud enough to save her from her own insecurity. She is backlit, yelling by the morning sun. Her words smear the colors of our relationship.
Or, it's 10 hours.
What? Hold on, it's 10 hours? Oh. Okay, so that goes there. Oh, thank you, Steven, and kick the face and all that stuff, and do it! Whatever he said. Okay, I'm paying attention. Another thing is coming up, Bard on the Virtual Beach. That's coming up in August at some point. If Caledonia can't get space for it at the Fruity Islands place, we'll find a space for it somewhere. I'll help out. Even though... No, it's Charles Dickens that I hate, not the Bard, which I promise I'll write up some new ones and not the same old crap that I read. Do I look like same old crap? No, that's not my nickname. It's all new crap. Right. That means I have to... I've caught up with myself on the queue. I'm at 2 years ahead of myself today. I wrote 2 yesterday and caught up. Which means this morning, I've fallen behind by a day again. What I need to do is get a new headset that sounds good, and then I've got everything recorded up through Halloween of this year, so I've got a lot of recording to do. That way, all these things in the queue will actually play, so if I die, the stories keep playing. So that'll be creepy. Although I have no plans on dying. No one ever plans for that kind of stuff. Unless, of course, you're skydiving or you walk up to people randomly in bars and say, oh, you suck. Which, no, I don't do. I walk up to people who I know for a long time who suck that I know have guns. Speaking of people who has guns but does not suck, Serendipity What story do you have? Let's find out.
Jackknife. New fortune was smiling on him when the swing of his pickaxe striking the rocky surface revealed the flash and sparkle of a rich vein of gleaming yellow. He'd struck the motherlode. Later that day, his triumph turned to woe. As he ran from the SA office, the laughter of his fellow prospectors ringing in his ears. That's fool's gold, you darned idiot. Nothing but iron ore. Now, 30 years later, he gazed through the window of his plush office at the huge operation that was Jackknife Mining Industries. He smiled. Who's the fool now? He murmured.
Thank you, Serendipity. That makes me so happy. All right, let's look through Shopping Cart Disco for what? Stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Here's a big middle finger. It's a happy place, blah, blah. Is everybody's racing? And whatever, and stupid, and sociopath, and what? This is stupid. Every freaking week. And all that crap. What? This isn't... Man, do people... people are so mean. Oh. SL is like a school full of fake bitches just waiting with a knife for your back. Yeah, whatever. Always be for me, bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And carrots and... What is the deal with people? The real SLC... The real post-secret was about stuff that people didn't want to get let out. And that was tearing them up inside. This is just... angry. It just shows how pathetic the hosts are of it, of not, it just, whatever, it's warped. What? Oh, they're playing with the TV box again. You silly goose. I want to get in there. Well, when I throw that thing out, you better not be in there. Otherwise, you'll be in the trash again. Speaking of in the trash again, here's something that won't end up in the trash. It's Sing. And the text of his story is not going to be on the site because he's in some sort of writing here. Submitting only the audio this week because I'm planning on entering the text in a competition which is meant to be unpublished. Okay. It's not that this is publishing, but okay. It's not like I'm Random House. I'm just Random Observations. Here's Sing.
A Dolphin Tale by Chris Mooney Singh. At first, I was reluctant to see the dolphins. Such a touristy thing. But I relented, knowing I'd never hear the end of it. We had driven overnight to Lovina, on the northern coast of Bali, rustically refreshing compared with the crammed chaos in Denpasar, and booked into a seaside villa. I would have been content lounging around nude with Mei Lin behind high walls beside our private pool. It was hard to steal time away with an executive wife, and even now her meticulous nature had planned this courtesy call, so jarring at 4:30 a.m. "Hurry up," she said. "The guide will be at reception in half an hour." "My name, Made. Come, we go. My boat there." And pointed to the water. The long-hulled outrigger was moored away from two other boats packed with yellow-vested tourists and cameras. "You want life jacket?" he asked. Malin smiled cheekily at the Australian, the swimmer, poking at my sense of national ego. "No," I said defiantly, clambering in awkwardly overweight. "You Asians can't swim. Better put one on." "Ayo," she said, deftly slipping onto her plank. "Dear, since you are such a good swimmer, I reckon you can make it to Perth by midday." "No, sweetheart. We'll harness the dolphins home to our children in Singapore." Being of different cultures had sparked our mutual attraction, but sometimes I expressed a distasteful superiority. Today it was playing up because I felt pushed and shoved without even a gulp of barley coffee to kickstart me. Besides, I'd seen dolphins galore back home. Yes, home was still Australia. Although I wouldn't admit that to my successful Singaporean financial consultant wife. Unlike many, she hadn't married me to my great. Above, the sun was running late to swap shifts with the daylight moon. Hand on a puttering tiller, Mudday steered us into the grey bay for a good 40 minutes. "So, where are these dolphins?" Neither Mei Lin or Mudday spoke. "Swimming in the travel brochure, huh?" I heckled. All I could see was a flotilla of 50 boats crammed with yellow life vests. At least we were in our own, like the private car we had hired to Lavina. Why do I avoid crowds while Mei Lin feels comfortable in sardine tin Singapore or anywhere else, I wondered. "Too many boat," Mudday said finally. "Indonesian tourist." Of course, Mudday could swim better than me. Of course, not just Australians' holiday in Bali, the playground of Indonesia. Of course, Singapore was a post-colonial nook for expats escaping Job Queue Australia. Of course, Mei Lin earned the bigger family salary. And of course, she had centuries of Asian charm within to handle a disgruntled hubby. But the issue now was whether there were dolphins anywhere out in this expanse of water. In an incantatory spirit, she began to hum the chorus of a song I had written years ago in my travelling musician days, encouraging me to join in. Dolphin ballet, dolphin ballet, just see them play out in the bay. Dolphin ballet. Career had been the love anthem my guitar had courted her with. I reprised another fragment. I go to the beach and stand on the stair. They're out of reach, this happy pair. Are they trying to teach me to let down my hair and dive in right there? Dive in right here, dolphin ballet. 20 years were bittersweet. My enduring fan was helping me sell the song we'd believed could be a hit with such conviction before the flotilla of fools, yet for us and for me. It dawned then, why'd we'd come. Yet I couldn't acknowledge her gift. My stillborn artistic life loomed like a shark's fin. But strange grace happens. The dorsal changed. From one, it grew to three, five, and finally a seven-member dolphin pod arcing in sleek black sequence. It was water ballet, as if they had been trailing me for 20 years, waiting for their leap at stardom, if not in public, then in person, with larrikin pluck, elegant poise, fearless somersaults, overtaking routines and speed spurts, leading us on, only to dive and vanish forever from our sight. Outriggers ran like gnats across our bow, but the convergence of competitive motors made sure the dolphins stayed deep.
Too many boat, Made repeated. So sorry.
The flotilla broke. Boats veered independently to chase the now illusory hope of dolphins. At last, I turned. Let's go back. Mei Lin nodded. Made seemed worried. Perhaps he'd be blamed for the poor showing.
Usually so many.
It's enough, I reassured. We saw plenty. And so he circled for home. Passing through shallows, Mei Lin pointed.
Look, blue starfish. Stars are everywhere.
Reaching shore, I paid Made extra, waving with thanks.
Glad we went?
She asked. I put my arm around her. Not glad, grateful.
Thank you for taking us into amazing adventures, Sing. You know, every time I come up with that kind of stuff, I want to make a Shadism. But I'm not doing the Chateauatry stuff right now. That stuff was for SL10B. That's over. So maybe there's going to be a Lenin Endowment for the Arts Project, but I highly doubt it, considering that I just don't. I'm not going to kiss ass. And yeah, I know Bran and this and that person, but it's like, really? Leave me out of it. I just want to dance in the sun. Although that involves actually dancing. All these cables everywhere. Gotta put them away. Here's a connector for a Thunderbolt to VGA that wound up making my laptop look like crap. So what do I need that for? I'll just give that to the folks at work and just say, here, if you ever need it. I don't need it. I don't care. Probably don't need it. No one needs it. Why do they sell it if nobody needs it? What do you want, little cat? The kitten at my feet now. She's like, ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'm going to rub against you now. Here, let me pick her up. Come here, squeakies. Give me the little squeakies. Yes, I'm going to pet your butt. Look me in the face. Look me in the face. Kiss you on the ears. All right. Put you down. Someone else who'd like to kiss on the ears is Justin. Here's his story.
Justin Lomaster here from thespaceturtle.com. My story this week is about City of Heroes. My main character when I played the game wore yellow because that's real stealthy. Anyways, I actually wrote the story Friday night, technically Saturday morning, because I was up late kind of on accident, And I was like, oh, I don't feel like recording, but I'll write it and send it. So I sent it. Then the next morning, I'm like, wait, man, I could just went to bed. Because that wasn't Saturday night, it was Friday night. Anyways, that's what vacation does to you. Back to work on Monday. Parents dead. Killed by a mafia hit on the wrong house. Growing up on the hard streets, alone. He learned to live by the way of shadows. Then one day he met a washed-up hobo drinking a bottle of tainted whiskey. And he watched him transform into a monster right before his eyes. Evil had gone too far. Crime had overstepped the line of tolerance. He donned the mask, slipped on the spandex, and alighted a fedora upon his head and became the Sly Drifter. Then he learned to use a sword after punching evil made his knuckles sore.
Dude, you get vacations? Well, technically I do, but I never take them. I just, you know, split up all my days off into half days and then take care of medical crap. That's what happens when you get old and cranky and sickly and... Ooh, what does this cable go to? Oh, a stack of junk. We have to clean all this out. Here, here's something that blows duster stuff. I can... There, I just dusted my keyboard. There, wasn't that exciting. I found my little Plantronics earpiece. It was embedded in the sofa. Caught between the cushions, and it was blinking. So it was like, hey, 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 hey. Was, nope, didn't find you. Been sitting on you with my butt all these weeks. Still had power enough to blink. That's sad. A little device, its only purpose is to blink. Oh well. I tried using it last night. What a pain. What are you doing back here, Tinny? Cats. All right. Next story is by Zachman. Let's go ahead and put him on the queue and go.
There's a crash, and someone screams, "Arai! Yellow!" That was his contact. She continues, "I bet someone emptied this ice chest here intentionally. Why did I agree to meet that yellow journalist?" Frank offers a hand to help the lady up, saying, "I'm not a yellow journalist. I had jaundice. Do you have it?" "Why could you not have gotten this yourself?" she says, handing him the Cap'n Crunch box. "My wife doesn't allow sugary cereal in our house. But I have to see if there's any truth in the Dan Brown conspiracy theory. Starting with why Captain wears a commander's uniform."
That was uncomfortable, but fun. Thank you, Zach, man. I really want to get this one done so I can go out and get a new headset and bubble bath and I don't know what else. I was supposed to do some sort of play for someone, but my schedule is so messed up. It's like, no, I can't do something at 2 while at work. I am actually working while at work. It's fun. I enjoy it. Now I've got this little, I've got this pathetic little bean recharger for a tiny little headset thing. That one vanished. I've got like 10 billion headsets. They're all broken. That's what happens. You collect up broken equipment over the years. It's sad. Really sad. And I don't have enough USB outputs in order to power all the USB things that I need to power. If I had a hub, it would probably fuck everything up. It's just, you know, you gotta deal with it. Speaking of things to deal with, how about we deal a little bit with Cliff, Uncle Monster. He's had a bit of a rough week, so let's go easy on him. It was, I know. Here's Cliff.
Hello? Yes, I'm still holding. Yes, the bomb's still ticking. When's the bomb squad going to be here? Why not? retirement party? Well, yes, 40 years is a long time to defuse bombs. So what am I supposed to do? Nail clippers? Yes, but me? Well, okay. Yes, I see the wires. Red, yellow, blue, and green. Really? In the movies, they always cut the red wire. Okay. Cutting the yellow wire. What? The red wire? But you said the yellow one. Just how long have you been an intern there? Yeah, well, the first day is always the toughest.
Yeah. Isn't that like it is? Yeah. Thank you, Cliff, and, you know. Next up is June. June Fairmore is here. Yay! She started doing this stuff again, and it's going to be fun. Although she does it over at this Chelsea place, which I... How about I just play the story and smile and... She's back in the litter box. That cat poops a lot. Maybe she's got a broken pooper or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's that kind of day. I know. This is all very interesting. Don't play in the pile of equipment. I know, it's supposed to be in the closet. We'll move it in there. Kitten, what are you doing, kitten? She's not much of a kitten anymore. She's still lanky and scrabbly, but she's big. You know, she's tall and she's long and lean. And then at some point she'll get her cat fatness. That way we can cook her. Yes, head, though. I'm petting you on the head, and you're liking that. Yeah, you're not a kitten anymore because you like being pet. Okay. Where's the other one? Where's the other cat? What'd you do with her? Oh, here's June.
I took the stars. Oh, I promised not to do that. This is June Fairmore from the Department of Redundancy Department with the 100-word weekly challenge. The word today is yellow, and the story is called Yellow because this is the Department of Redundancy Department. Coming to you from the road, hopefully there is not too much background noise, because we're sweating and I really don't want to do this again. Yellow filters down to a tree not yet touched with dew, as Kerwin ducks behind it for cover. The chase is on, and constant awareness is necessary, even in these quiet morning hours. The teelins squeak, announcing the approach of the hunt, and with every wet sound he prays for the rain to return to cover his scent. He did not realize filching a lemon cake would cause this much chaos. Leanna wanted it, and he wanted her, wanted up her short skirt and whatever else hid behind the long jacket worn by all girls not yet betrothed. Kerwin runs from Yellow. Thank you. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday morning. Follow me on Twitter. It's June Fairmore. Follow my poetry blog. Also, June Fairmore. There's something else, though. I have a magazine. WayTooFantasy.com. Our newest issue is out. Issue 2 with wonderful, wonderful stories and artwork and poetry and wonderful, wonderful, wonderfulness. That's right. This is the Department of Redundancy Department. Thank you and have a nice day.
The Department of Redundancy Department? I've never heard of them. Are they a part of the Department of Homeland Security Security? Or the NSA or the Care Obamacare or something? I don't know. Thank you, Jim. Ooh, I got a new email one. What's this one from? Nope. I get commenting from... commenting on that. No, that's not important. How about we move them to the Weekly Challenge folder? People are already writing stories for the next one. That's how long this is taking this week. She was snoring and I woke up and I was like, oh, I'll go sleep on the couch. And so I go sleep on the couch and sure enough, what? More messages? Really? Yeah, Norval Joe, how about you take over while I deal with all this crap coming in?
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 376 with a prompt of yellow. Here's my story. Dan shoveled a mouthful of his breakfast cereal into his mouth, savoring the crunchy sweetness. He knew from experience, if he didn't eat quickly, the trademarked crunch would soon become mush. With shock, he looked to the box before him and gasped. The primary colors! He couldn't believe he hadn't seen it before. There, before him on the box, yellow, red, and blue. He turned the box sideways, reading in blind disbelief. Corn flour, sugar, oat flour, brown sugar, coconut oil. An image of the smiling Quaker Oatman loomed in his head as he whispered, "The Captain Crunch Conspiracy." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. No, I don't think Captain Crunch is good for wiener dogs. Long John Silver, would you eat Captain Crunch? No, I didn't think you would. He won't.
Thank you, Norville Joe. Seriously, how could Logitech create such a wonderful headset as the H530 and then follow it up with an H540 that sounds like this? Oh well, I'll get over it when I get rid of this headset and give it to some unsuspecting children. Or I could just send it to Danny. That would be fun. Danny, would you like a new headset? Here. Tell your story and I'll get this piece of crap packed up.
Hello. Danny Dwyer here. And I'm exhausted. Because it seems that I'm a complete idiot trying to make recordings because I keep referring to my dead dog Danny as my live dog Freddy, who is sleeping at my feet, and he just doesn't give a crap about what I'm saying. So let's read this weekly challenge called 376 Yellow. The expert went on describing his qualifications as an expert. It goes as follows. After I received my bachelor's degree in yellow lunchbox technology and DNA collection, I was then somehow hired by the state of Florida in a demented state, then underwent extensive training packaging sandwiches wrapped in wax paper put in yellow lunchboxes, followed by a six-month apprenticeship. State attorney responds, Your Honor, I would like to submit Mr. Ching Ching Chi Chu, I promise I'm not a racist, I just sound like one, as an expert on packaging sandwiches wrapped in wax paper and placing them into a yellow lunchbox. Any objection, Mr. Weiss? Yes, I object to the term yellow.
I'm sorry, what was that, Paula Deen? Oh, sorry. Thank you, Danny. What are you doing walking up? I'm trying to clean up here. I'm cleaning up while listening to Danny's story. It's the best thing to clean up to. Oh, that speaker fell down there. External speakers, huh? That's so 1993. Oh, thank you, Danny. I know the levels are all off. Everything's screwed up. I miss my old headset. It worked fine. And the one that I had before it, but I stepped on the connector and broke it. I looked for it in my closet full of broken stuff. Nope, not in there. And I have my trackball, which I don't use anymore. I thought, yeah, that's going to be really ergonomic. And then my thumb seized up. Right. Thank you, Danny. You know what I'm going to do? Here's Red Goddess. Her story is read by a robot because I just can't get the right voice for it. It just, you know, it needs to be all girly and stuff, really. So, here's Red Goddess.
It's wedding season. The hotel manager announces gleefully as she walks through the lobby to her office. I guess, good morning to staff is not worth the same effort. Lola has too much on her plate, so she ignores her and focuses on the guests checking in. Violet, the hotel interior designer, is getting married on Independence Day and she wants Lola's opinion on the color scheme. Violet's favorite color is saffron yellow. So she decided, everything except her gown will have a touch of yellow. The bridesmaids would have to find matching shoes. The men must wear the exact shade of yellow tie or they'll come face to face with the bridezilla. Lola nods and smiles as she shows her the wedding plan, guest list, cake choice and the piece de resistance, her massive yellow diamond ring. This is all too consuming for Lola without caffeine or a cocktail. Wedding talk is like asking a new guest about their day and they derail into details about their whole trip, including what they ate on the plane. All of a sudden, Lola says, "Oh wow, look at the time. I have a meeting with the manager," as she slides away from the counter. Lola wishes her luck on her big colorful Independence Day bash and trapped herself into the Dragon Lady's office.
Thank you, Red Goddess, as read by a robot, which is what the future of podcasting will all be about eventually. And where's this piece of paper? Hold on. Bank of Enclosed, you will find a check which represents a credit balance refund from your Bank of America account. Yeah, they sent me a check for $1. Because I overpaid a credit card by $1. And I was like, oh, I'll use that credit card eventually. I'll use it eventually. Never did. Now I'm using the credit card again. Although the rewards are all screwed up. So I got another credit card that has better rewards, but I can't transfer the old rewards to the new rewards. So this is what happens when Discover does 5% on gas for somebody who, oh, I don't know, doesn't drive. Although I'm going to drive to Micro Center and then to Target to pick up the bubble bath and maybe I'll fill up the tank and then get 5% cash back. And my wife's saying, oh, you filled it up. How thoughtful. And then like, oh, all the clothes in the closet are all a mess. We have to sort them out 5 weeks in a row. There was an extra clothes rack here in the spare room. And the problem is it falls over all the time. And I just got sick of putting stuff up on it, everything falling over. Everything falling? No. So I'm getting rid of all the stuff that doesn't fit me anymore. I'm going to stay fat for a real long time. And still, I'm just going to die of a stroke or a heart attack at this point. So, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to eat what I want, when I want, and enjoy life as brief as it is. There you go. Hello, cat. Yeah, you live life briefly. What are you going to live for, 10, 11 years? Or if you're like Boo, you're going to get your ass run over at some point. Eat, drink, and be merry, you little furry beast. Good little girl. Going to hug you and pet your tummy.
Yes, you are such a sweetie.
Okay, I'm going to put you down now. All right, you go hunt that other thing. Oh, right. So, what? One more story? Planet Z? Gee, I wonder if his story is going to sound all muddy and crappy, too. Huh?
When she was a kitten, her eyes were yellow. But after she lost her mate, her eyes turned green. Then, when we got her a kitten to keep her company, her eyes would change from yellow to green, depending on her mood. They were usually a muddy yellow, never were the same again. I hear her howl from the bedroom. I know she is carrying around a toy ball and searching for her mate to give it to. She will never find him. Green, yellow, these are merely colors. What matters is that you see what you want to see.
Hey everyone, thank you very much for being a part of this weekly challenge. I know the topic was yellow. Sound coming from me was horrible. I apologize for that. I thought that Logitech from the H530, from the H540 would improve things. Instead, they make it worse. Instead, they fit the model that all modern industry follows, which is make it cheaper, make it crappier, make it last even shorter. People have to constantly dispose, and we get more plastic in the goddamn landfills. And they say, well, will we recycle our packaging? But then they just make shit that makes it even worse. So, you know, thank you, Logitech. You know, goodbye, Logitech. I'm going Plantronics. Let's see how they fail me. I tried the Plantronics Legend as a Bluetooth headset. Sounded great in the air. Microphone, awful. The M50, M55, nope. The little Jabra Stone 2 sounded all right, but battery life, 2 hours. Yeah, that's going to last me, Mr. Internet Addict.
It's 10:30.
Thank you for reminding me, Robot, that I'm wasting your time and mine. So, next week, topic is going to be anonymous. So, don't sign any of your stuff. And believe me, I wish that this whole Cousin Larry thing would go away. All right, so thank you all for showing up and having a good time, despite my crappy headset. I'll see you all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.